morning. Good to be with you this morning. And once again, to study a portion of the Word of God. This morning, we're going to start a little different. We're going to start a new series from the book of Acts. I don't know if you saw or you came in the marquee. I try to keep it relatively current with what we're studying. And for the next few weeks, we will be starting a study through the book of Acts. Now, if you think about the book of Acts in the New Testament, most of us think about it's part of Luke wrote two books, Luke and Acts, and they're sort of like volume one and volume two of the work that Luke gave to us. You might not think about it, but it's roughly a fourth of the New Testament is divided between Luke and Acts. It's the same amount, roughly, that Paul wrote, roughly a fourth of the New Testament. So if we take a look at Luke and Acts together, it's a large portion that makes up, and it covers a large span of time. We start with Luke at the beginning of the ministry of Jesus, and we end Acts. It's going to end with Paul in Rome, roughly 30, 35 years after Jesus has ended his ministry on this earth and gone back to heaven. We look this morning for just a few minutes at the first chapter of Acts, that as you might have seen from our scripture reading. And I'd like to start with a question that you probably know the answer to because I've already told you we're going to study in Acts. But if you had to name the book in the New Testament that speaks about the Holy Spirit more than any other book, what book would you guess?
Acts!
Acts! See there? See, I figured somebody would this. And actually, it's amazing. It's by far, if you take a commentary, a concordance, and look at how many times Holy Spirit is mentioned in Acts, it's by far more than any other book of the Bible. Over 50 times that we see the Holy Spirit mentioned in the book of Acts. And so in many ways, the book of Acts is the works of the Holy Spirit as much as it is the Acts or the works of the apostles that we think about. And we'll take a look at that a little bit as we look at the book of Acts and as we go through the first few chapters of it. But I'd like to go back to chapter 1 of Luke. Because Luke wrote both Luke and Acts as volumes 1 and 2. And many times when a writer would write, the introduction to one book actually covers the entire book. And look at how Luke starts the book of Luke. He says, "Insomuch as many have undertaken to compile narratively these things, which have been accomplished or fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us. It seemed good to me also, having followed these things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have a certainty concerning the things which you have been taught." Now notice what Luke says, just a few things very quickly. When he goes through, he says, history fulfilled, the things have been accomplished, these things that have happened that you're aware of. And it really goes to the idea of the fulfillment and faithfulness of God with His promises. Then he goes on to the eyewitness accounts that He's going to give us, a personal research and an orderly account. Most scholars that look back at Luke's versions of Luke and the book of Acts say that Luke was a historian on even par with the greatest of the Greek or the Roman writers at the time. He was an excellent historian. And you see this. You look at the details he gives you in these books. He gives you the people's names and their places, and he gives you the little details that really fill in the story of Luke and of Acts. And he writes it for Theophilus, who we're not quite sure who Theophilus was. He says most excellent, and that was an honorary term usually given to Romans of some high official. So most likely he was a Roman official. But either way, it was given to him so he could be certain or a foundation for what he believed. In the same way, I think, for us today. The next passage I'd like for you to take a look at very quickly also comes from Luke. And I believe in this passage he really gives us the theme that he's going to be writing about throughout the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. And this comes in chapter 2, when Simeon sees the baby Jesus. Mary and Joseph have brought Jesus to the temple to basically offer a sacrifice for him. And Simeon is an older man, a prophet that's been revealed to him by God that he would get to see the Messiah. And notice what Simeon says. He says, "Lord, you are now letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen the salvation that you've prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and a glory to your people Israel. Now, would you go through the Bible and you look at, we see the word Gentile. You can really just think of nations there. The word Gentile just simply means the world or the nations. And so notice what Simeon says. He basically gives us three things. Salvation has been prepared by God. In other words, what is now happening was in God's mind and has been God's mind forever. This is God's plan now being worked out. And salvation comes through this little baby. It's going to come through Jesus. And salvation is for everyone. It's for the world. Those three ideas we see played out throughout the book of Acts as we go through. Now, if you look over with me, look at the very beginning of Acts. Going back now to chapter 1 of Acts. Notice what he says. And so from the day we heard, I skipped that. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus came to do and to teach until the day that he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Now that theme of the kingdom of God we'll see as we go through is one of the main themes that we have for Acts. And so here he goes through those last few days that Jesus had. He was intent with his own apostles teaching them about the kingdom. And after a while of staying with them, he ordered that they not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me, from John who baptized with water, but you baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now." And when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you now at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" Now that last sentence sometimes causes us a little problem. And I've heard many people, many commentaries will say, see, at this time they were even still looking for an earthly kingdom to restore to Israel. But I'd like for you to take a look with me just a few minutes as we go through the study of Acts and look at the theme of what they may have meant by that. And maybe it's a little different than what we have always sometimes thought. Maybe they had a good understanding of the kingdom, and maybe it's us that maybe just misunderstood some of what they've said. One of the ideas that we see throughout Luke's writing is the idea that the kingdom of God is one of those themes that runs from the whole book. If you look back at the very beginning of the book, back to chapter 4 of Luke, notice what is said. This is Jesus and it's beginning of his ministry. "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the towns as well, for that was for the purpose. That was my purpose of coming." His purpose was to teach the kingdom of God. Now, when we think about the kingdom of God, we use the word kingdom often to mean a domain or kingdom that be reigned over. But the word kingdom throughout scriptures usually means the reign itself. And so what Jesus could have just as well been translating in our language is that I was sent, my purpose was to give the good news of the reign of God to his people. And if we think about kingdom as being the reign of God, I think it helped us understand a little bit of what was going on. But this is the message of Jesus throughout his ministry. He came to teach the people the reign of God. We've looked at many of the parables of Jesus over the last few weeks. And if you notice, one of the themes in those parables was the idea of repentance. The repentance is turning back to God, turning back to that reign of God. And that goes through all of Jesus' teaching. Look on over in Acts chapter 8. We're going to skip a little bit further. This is sort of previews of what we will be studying in Acts. In Acts chapter 8, we are a few years from the time when Jesus goes back to heaven. And Philip goes over to Samaria. To spread the word there in Samaria. And notice what it says. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them Christ. But when they believed Philip as he preached good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now, notice what's said here. It first says he preached on Christ, and then it says he preached on the kingdom of God and the name of Christ. So in other words, preaching the kingdom of God is just preaching Jesus Christ. And you're going to see that, I think, as we go through this book of Acts. Sometimes we want to make the kingdom of God to be some mysterious thing or this or that. It's just preaching Jesus. If you go back to think about Luke 4 that we just looked at, Jesus came to preach the kingdom of God. That was what he taught. So when we teach the kingdom of God, we're just simply preaching Jesus. That's what Philip preached. Philip came to preach Christ or to preach Jesus. And the next verse says he preached the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. It's preaching Jesus. And we'll see that as we go through, I think, the book of Acts. Now, we saw in the very beginning of Luke the idea that Jesus came to preach the reign of God. Look at the very last chapter of Acts. We're about 30 years later. Paul is in Rome. And notice what it says. Paul lived there, that is Rome, 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, both claiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. And see, so the kingdom of God is preaching Jesus. And the apostles knew what preaching Jesus was. And we see that throughout the time of the apostles. Now, if you look with me, I think the apostles probably had a better understanding. They had been with Jesus for years. And you think about if you had been with Jesus, and as he's taught during the afternoon, and he said something maybe that you didn't understand, like sometimes happened in our class, the apostles would be with Jesus in the evening, and they would talk to him. Look at what's said in Mark chapter 4. When he was alone with the apostles, this is right after he told them one of the parables that may be a little hard to understand. And the others around him, they asked him about the parables. And he told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. So the secrets of the knowledge of the kingdom was given to the apostles. That was the very reason they were called to be apostles. And if you look on down in Luke chapter 24, this is after Jesus has risen from the dead, that first Sunday. And he said to them, these are the words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. In other words, remember what I've been telling you for the last 2 to 3 years? That everything about me, the law of Moses, the prophets and Psalms, must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. You notice that last word, he opened their minds. So the apostles had their minds opened by Jesus himself. They knew the story of Jesus that they were going to now take to the world. And that's what they did. They took this new message, this new gospel to the world. Though it had been always God's plan. And it had always been in fulfillment. So if we look back at what they said, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? If you think about, there's other ways to take what they said. What do we think about when you see the word restore? One of the ideas throughout the scriptures, you see this especially in Paul's and Luke's writings, is the idea of fulfillment. The God had made all these promises to Israel. He had made promises to Abraham and to David. And in fact, in Matthew chapter 1, he introduces Jesus as the son of David and the son of Abraham. In fulfillment of all those great promises that God had made to his people, Israel. And what the apostles are saying are, now is the time of the fulfillment of all these prophecies. Because we know that God is a faithful God. And so this is the time of the fulfillment. Over in Acts chapter 15, I'm going to skip again. We'll take a look at some of these verses a little more later on. James says that these things have now been fulfilled. He says, after this, I'll return and rebuild the tent of David that has fallen. In other words, restore Israel. And I'll rebuild its ruins, and I'll restore it, the remnant of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the nations or Gentiles who are called by name, says the Lord, who makes these things of old. So in other words, it would now be restored and now open to the whole world. And that really is the message of Acts that we see. As we go through this book of Acts, we see this exact thing happen. Skipping over just a little bit to Ephesians, a verse we've looked at before. The idea that there's two nations. Paul in chapters 2 and 3 of Ephesians goes through great lengths. In just a little verse he says, he might create himself one new man or one new nation, one new people. In place of two, the two would be the Jews and the Gentiles. Making peace, might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross. He goes on to say, we're now one family. We're one household. We're one citizenship. In other words, there's only one people of God now. when the Jews, when the apostles asked Jesus, would you restore the kingdom now to Israel? The term Israel to them meant God's people. And it had always been that way. Israel was God's chosen people. In the Old Testament, the nation of Israel, sometimes it's called the nation of God for that very reason. And so when they were asking, are you going to restore now? Are you going to fulfill all those promises that you've made to God's people now? And we'll see what Jesus' reply. But think about the term Israel as just simply being God's people. And what we're going to see is that the people of God now are going to be opened up to the whole world. How was that going to happen? That's the story of Acts, is how this kingdom of Israel is going to be opened up now to everyone. We've already seen a couple of the prophecies that mention that it would be a light to the Gentile, a light to the world, that all the world would be blessed through the Christ. But how was that going to happen? That's what we'll see as we go through the study of Acts. Look with me now Jesus' reply. After they asked him, notice what Jesus says to them. And this is in Acts chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons that our Father has fixed by his own authority. But you receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now notice what Jesus says. He says, you're going to be my witnesses. Now we're going to see that more as we go through. Peter's going to refer to that we were the witnesses chosen. That's really what the mission of the apostles was, to be that witness. But where were they going to witness? Starting there in Jerusalem, then Judea. Judea is sort of the suburbs around Jerusalem. Then Samaria, and that's just a little bit further away. And then to the ends of the earth. In other words, you're going to take this gospel to the world. That's what he tells them. But now, look over in Matthew chapter 28. We have Jesus' last comments to the apostles there. And sometimes we call it the Great Commission, but notice how similar it is to what Luke records for us. In Matthew 28, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now, in some ways, when Jesus says all authority, you think about the kingdom being the reign of God or the reign of Christ. In some ways, the kingdom is everything because Jesus rules or reigns over all. But he goes on down to his people, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Now notice what the idea, the gospel now would go to all the world. And what would they teach? We already see that Paul was teaching the kingdom of God or the reign of God. They're teaching Jesus, teaching them to obey all the things that I taught you. So the apostles were to teach the story of Jesus to the world. And that's exactly where we are in the beginning of the book of Acts. As we go through Acts, we'll see how they took this message. How it starts there in Jerusalem with just really a handful of Jews. As Jesus said, like a small mustard seed. And how it's going to spread to the whole world. And that's the story that we'll take a look at. It starts in Jerusalem. It goes to Judea. It goes to Samaria. And then it's going to go all the way to Rome. Which to the Jewish mind said, if you think about it, if you even look at a map of the time, Rome was the other side of the world. And that's where the book of Acts is going to take us, from Jerusalem to Rome. And it's going to take the gospel message. And we're going to take a look at that gospel message that spread from Jerusalem, from the early apostles, from their teachings, as they teach us about Jesus. But now, the last thing we're going to look at this morning is the ascension of Jesus back to heaven. And notice what's said in this, the end of our scripture reading this morning. When he said these things, and they were looking up, they lifted up. He was lifted up. And a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood beside him in white robes. And the men said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand there looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up into heaven will come in the same way that you saw him go into heaven. Now this is one of the great promises given to us. And it's one of the reasons why I think Luke goes through the faithfulness of God in fulfilling all his promises. If God fulfilled all those promises in the past, we can be sure he's going to fulfill all the promises he makes to us in the future. Our God is faithful over all time. And the promise is that Christ will come again, just as he left. In 1 Corinthians 15, he says he will come again to receive those who are his, who are waiting for him. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he says he will come again just as he left. He will come in the sky, and all those who are waiting for him, those who have already died, those who are asleep, will rise first, and then we who are not asleep, who are still alive, all will rise together to meet him in the sky. To meet him just as he left, he will come again, and we will be with him. And that's the great promise that we have in our Lord. This morning, I've gone through just really a quick introduction to the book of Acts. As we go through, hopefully we'll see how this story of Jesus starts with just these 12 men, and later Paul will be added to their number, so there'll be 13. And they'll take this message from Jerusalem to the world. And this kingdom that starts off with just being the kingdom of what we would think of as Israel or the Jews there in Jerusalem will be open to the whole world. And we'll see that salvation is for all people to come to the Lord, that truly Jesus is a light to the world. And we see that message and how that will unfold as we go through the book of Acts. I have two more little scriptures to leave you with this morning. The first comes from Colossians, and to me, more than maybe any other one scripture I thought about, it's what it means to be a Christian. We talk about the idea of the reign of God. We talk about what did Jesus teach? What does it mean to be a Christian? I think this one passage is as good as I could find. And notice what Paul says. And this is in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. And it, notice, too, that this is a prayer that Paul prays for the church there at Colossae. And from that day we have heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of our Lord. And even that right there, we could stop and think about walking in a way worthy of our Lord. Fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of our God. That sums up pretty much what we talked about in so many of the parables, the idea of bearing fruit for our Lord, living like Jesus. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints and light. That goes into our Sunday school class with inheritance of you that were here. But now listen to this last little part of the verse. He has delivered us from the domain or the kingdom of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. What does it mean to be a Christian? It means that we're no longer in the domain of darkness, but we live in the kingdom of light. We live in the reign of our Lord and our Savior. We live with Jesus. He's in us. We live within him. And we are in his kingdom. We're in his domain. We're in his reign. He is truly the Lord that we look up to as our Father is in heaven and we look up to him. And if you look at the last verse I have there, it's Romans chapter 1. On Wednesday night, we started a new study for in our Wednesday night fellowship. To study the book of Romans. And so I thought I'd end with this one verse because to me, it is a very special verse. It's one of those verses that Paul puts in some form in every one of his letters. And it, to me, it's a very special thought to end with this morning. What does it mean to be in the kingdom of light? What does it mean to be a Christian, to know that Christ is in us, that we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, that we have a Heavenly Father that watches over us, that we're waiting for Christ to come again, and we know when he comes again that we'll be with him. Paul brings it in like this. He says, all those who are in Rome, who are loved by God, and we could say that to all those who are here in Satellite Beach, who are loved by God, called to be holy or called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in a world that doesn't have much peace, but you have peace when you're in Christ. We live in a world that we wonder, do we have the favor of God with us? You have the favor of God, his grace and his peace when you're in his kingdom. And that's the story that we'll see unfold for us in the book of Acts. This morning, as we start this study, if you're not part of that kingdom, if you're not part of the reign of God, if you don't have Christ in your life, there's no better time to come to Him than this morning, to be baptized into Christ and start that new walk. If you've started that walk but you've gotten off the path, why not come back to it today? If you need to come in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing.